The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
So, Farrell on the bench. By the way, it was Jacoby Brissett who had the quarterback sneak and punched it in to extend the lead to 34-17 for the Colts. And there you go. I think the block punt, I think that shank punt was huge because it led to the touchdown. That was when they got stopped, right? The shank punt led to the touchdown, and then the block punt led to another one. And then the quarterback sneak was the third one, right? I think that's pretty much the deal, because they were down 17-13, and they've scored all these touchdowns off of those mistakes, the shank punt and the block punt. I think the shank punt, they didn't score, right? And then the block punt, they did. You know what I mean? Like, am I getting it wrong?
Because, no, you're not getting it wrong. You're good.
I know you're really excited about the game. But I just want to see here. So it was 17-13, and then the Tennessee punt was for 9 yards. That led to a touchdown. That's right. They went up 20-17. Then they blocked Daniel again and scored. And then Gostkowski missed the field goal from inside of 50. Missed it wide right. And then they scored on the touchdown from Brissett. So it was 3 scores. So there you go. I was right first time.
My concern right now is getting another point or 2 points, I should say, in this Colorado State game. Because since we talked early in the third quarter,
they never scored.
They have not, and it's early in the fourth now, so I'm actually switching, and I'm actually going to turn on a 52-21 game right now in hopes that I can get one more score from the Colorado State Rams. That's where the night is.
Do you remember when you brought it up, and it was 40, it was, I think, 42-14 when you thought it was 14, and I go, no, they just scored again, and it's 21. You said, good, I need another point and a half, and I cover the bet. Any score at all. And so you needed... You know, whatever. So I said, I don't think they're going to score again, and they're not.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. Because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, Carver High is just a gangster over here, laying down the law on the bench in between segments. Anyway, so talk to me about, and we have Joe Lisi coming up here in a little bit, so we might as well get it in now. What did you think of the Masters? Like, I got horny watching the Masters. Like, I got all kinds of worked up. Like, I was sitting, let me just give you a synopsis. I was sitting in my kitchen, right? And I was having lunch or something. And I saw that, you know, whatever, it was on. Because, you know, what I do is I get up really early and I ball, I train or I work out or blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I get kids off to school and everything. I mean, I get up before everybody. I get up at like 6 a.m. and I don't even sleep. I go to bed at 1 a.m. I get up at 6. So, you know, I take a nap, right? Like I take a nap every day, like a European, like I'll take that 2 hour siesta, like a rock star. And then I feel fantastic for the rest of the day, right? All night. I can go all night. So I woke up at like, you know, 1:30 and I turned on the TV cause I knew it started at 1:00. And they had a rain delay, so I turned it on. And I mean, I was watching in the kitchen, and I was literally yelling and screaming at the TV and, like, yelling and just freaking out on every shot and putt and made putt and missed putt and different guys. The leaderboard was so stacked with big names and, you know, just huge money guys. Like, in my opinion, that's just a fantastic leaderboard at the Masters with all these big names. And I'm just sitting there going like, I'm yelling, all right, let's go LT Gray. And then I was like going, all right, Lee Westwood, like I give a rat's ass about him. I'm like, look at Casey go. I go, that's a nice drain out from the side of the green. You know, I'm yelling. And then I'm like, when Reed hit that shot out of the woods, I'm like, Jesus H. I was like, so I was freaking out watching the golf. And then I'm like, yo, Rory, he's out on the range. And then I'm like, I just was screaming and yelling and enjoying it. I didn't care that it was November. I don't care if it's April. I don't care if it's June, July. I don't care if it's February. If they're playing golf at the Masters, fans or no fans, I got horny. I just thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool to see. And I wish they didn't have the rain delay. We could have got everything in, because I'm obviously riding a big ticket on Justin Thomas, and he was playing so well. I just hope he's able to carry that in tomorrow morning when he gets back out there. And they're going to get everybody back on the course at 7 a.m. They're hoping to finish that first round by 9:30 and then start round two. And provided there's no delays, they should be able to get everybody up and in by tomorrow before the weekend. But I thought it was a great day. You're right. Tons of great names. Some great shots.
Most of them were, you know, at what I saw just now, most of them are at least at the turn. So it's not like they have to play 18 tomorrow morning. It's about nine holes. Yeah.
The most that some guys have to play is nine. They pretty much got everybody through the turn. I think that Thomas has like seven or eight holes left. You know, guys have different amounts. But they should get it all in. They'll pick up the pace tomorrow because they want to have their 50 golfers. And that's what it is. The cut is 50 golfers. It's not 10 strokes off of whoever's the lead. It is 50 golfers. So they want to have that for Saturday morning.
Do you think that the weather is it supposed to be good tomorrow? Do you know? Because
weather's good tomorrow. Weather is supposed to be good. They actually – I know that early in the week we were thinking some rain and some wind for almost every day, but that has changed. You saw how beautiful it got in the afternoon after that morning downpour. I think that you're going to expect more of that over the next couple of days. It looks like the weather's really taking a turn for the good over at Augusta.
So when I got up, I saw, you know, I had it on at 7 a.m. and I turned it on, and literally by the, like, 20-30 minutes into the round, they blew the horn, and it was delayed for 2.5-3 hours. So the rain hit hard, and it was pouring, and they blew the horn. And I knew there wasn't going to be any golf, so I just turned it off, and then I went to bed because I had to go.
They made sure to drag Jack and Gary Player out there to hit those tee shots at 6:55 in the pouring rain. They had Jack and Gary Player out there.
Did they?
Hit the ceremonial tee shot. The guys look soaked.
But Gary, I think Gary hits the ball better than Jack these days.
Jack had
Gary's
a
pure athlete. Jack's just an old man.
Jack's old now. I mean, listen, it is what it is. But Jack even made a little joke on the tee box, you know. You guys better all move out of the way over here, you know, like he was going to shank one right into the crowd, you know. But Gary pumped one out there. It's a good shot by Gary.
Gary's at least 80-something, and you'd think he was 60, because he is this guy's an iron horse. Have you ever seen this guy work out? Like, he's a freak. The guy's in incredible shape for an 80-year-old. He
85.
Would mow you down.
85.
He's 85. Like, he's no joke. I mean, the guy's on, like, you know, you're 85. You're finished. But that guy, I bet he's still good in bed.
And
that
Jack's
guy's got,
80.
Like, he works out, man.
Let me tell
that
you, Jack's 80. Jack's 80 and Gary Player's 85. And I would have thought it was the reverse. I would have figured Jack was 85 and Gary was 80, the way that they both looked out there on the tee this morning. But isn't that Haro's boy, Gary Player? Isn't that his guy?
So yeah, I've had Gary on the show before because of Haro. And they're good friends. And I know that Rick's gone down to South Africa and done stuff with him at his events and the like, and raised money with him for various charities. All I know is that he's a really, really cool guy, Gary Player. And then, you know, Jack's a legend at another level entirely. But, you know, his 80 is like, to me, Jack's like 100. He's like 100 to me. But Gary Player is like 65 to me. He literally is a machine. Like, that guy can go out. I mean, he could play 36 and walk and no problem. He's a machine. But I don't think Jack could. I don't even think Jack can. Frankly, I don't think he could walk 18 right now.
25 years from now, who's doing the ceremonial tee? Tiger's clearly one of them. Tiger
right.
Woods. I'm trying to think of who else is going to be in that. You know, because it's usually a couple of guys. Who else will be in that? Who's won a couple of jackets? I'm trying to think.
Phil Mickelson will be there.
Would they put Phil out there too? With Phil and Tiger will be the guys.
I think so.
Yeah. 25 years.
The real question is who's the third one? Because it was always three of them.
Yes, they had obviously Arnie out there for a long time with the two of
who's
them.
Who's the third one long term? Like. In terms of, like, because I can see Freddie Couples getting that gig.
Yeah, and you know what? Freddie's going to get it a lot sooner because, listen, I'm talking 25. Clearly, Gary Player and Jack aren't going to be, you know, aren't going to be doing this 25 years from now. They're, you know,
they won't be alive.
Yeah, exactly. There's a whole nother level that we could start, you know, 5 years from now, which you're right, could be Freddie Couples, you know, et cetera. In that group to get the bridge to Tiger and Phil and those guys when they're done playing.
Who do you think would make it? Larry Mize, Fred Couples? Who would you put in there? Olathabo? Like the greatest players ever at Augusta.
I wouldn't put Olathabo in there.
Don't be messing with my boy Olathabo, son.
I wouldn't put him in there.
Jose Marie Olathabo, son.
Ceremonial tee shot.
What do you think in 25 years, church. Bubba? They love Bubba.
They do love Bubba. Bubba won it twice.
He's won it twice, but he, you know,
winning it twice is a big deal for them. They love that stuff over there.
Well,
tradition.
I think that you know, he's won it twice. I'll give you that. But is there anyone that's game is uglier than his that you can't even believe he won two green jackets? Like, because he's a disaster. He swings just for the fences, and there is no way. It's like you have no – because when DeChambeau hits it 375 yards, you know he's going big ball bomb. But when Bubba does it, you know, people are losing eyes, and people are getting plucked in the head, and you'd have no idea where that ball is going. Like, when I hit – I can hit it big right off the tees. And I told you the story on Coast to Coast. Like, I can hit it big, but I have no idea if it's going left or right. Like, I used to be able to just, when I was a six, I could hit it. I could hit it long and far and straight. When I lived in California and I played every day, 5-6 days a week, I played golf. I could hit it right off the tees, boom, right down the middle. I knew where it was going, even with a fade or a draw. But now I never play, right? So I don't play golf anymore, except maybe 5, 6 times, 10 times a summer, right? And when I tee off with a wood, I mean, Christ, I could kill somebody.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for Alan Evans, we always love hooking up with Joe Lisi to talk college football. Just give me 1 second, because I just want to give you this, because we were messing around, as we always do, Carver High and I. I didn't give you the leaderboard. It's Casey, a two-stroke lead over Simpson, Shoffley, Thomas, and then three back are Matsuyama, Westwood, Louie, Reed, Tiger, Wolf, Adam Scott, and your boy Ferrelli Fratelli. There you go. Heavyweight, big name leaderboard at Augusta at the Masters. And by the way, I bet on Shoffley and Louie, and Carver High bet on Thomas. The way Thomas was playing out of the gates, like he was on fire. I think he's the most dangerous guy right now heading into Friday, playing 27 holes. That guy might have a lead by the end of Friday that nobody can equal. The guy was just rolling, and then the sun went down. So we'll see what he does tomorrow morning early. And remember, when they play golf early in the morning, I usually play with, weed and coffee. And you have, and it's just wet as hell, and you just can't putt. Everything's soaking wet at 7 in the morning. I don't care where they play. So I just know whenever I go out, I play in like my Dwayne Wade's, and they're just soaked, and I got grass all in my feet and socks, and I'm just miserable. I hate playing really early in the morning, but I always play early in the morning because of my shows and career and life. I have no time to do anything, so I have to play at 6:30 in the morning, and it sucks. But I'll tell you this much, when you play early, you don't, because golf, if you play later in the day, it takes you 5-6 hours to play because people are so slow ass on the golf course. All right, Joe, let's bring in Joe Lisi. He's like, are we going to talk football here? Or is this guy going to talk golf for 15 minutes? Hey, Joe.
What's up, guys? Scotty, I was telling Carver I was off last week, right? I was cold. I couldn't figure out what it was. And now I know you were out of town. You know, that's what it was. So you left. I went cold as ice. You come back, I'm hot as a pistol. That's all I have to say.
There you go. You know, last week I was off with you, and I hit 75% of my plays in college football on Saturday. I went crazy hitting winners. And then the thing that I've been talking about this week is, Joe, is that I said earlier in the show, is there any college football games being played this weekend? You know what I mean? Like, they've canceled every good game. It's awful.
I know. I just, you know, it's funny because I put in some action, obviously. I put in stuff when the lines come out on Sunday. And then I put in some parlays with, you know, some of my better bets. And I keyed Georgia Tech at night. So I go to look. And sure enough, the game is void. I'm like, oh, man, they just canceled that. That, you know, the Georgia Tech game was the game I was looking at Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and now there's no play on that. So we'll see. You know, maybe
you and that Georgia Tech team. I mean, honestly, like when don't you bet on Georgia Tech? Like, I mean, you know, I was friends with Bobby Kremins, great basketball coach. And I lived down there three times. And I even saw Pink Floyd at Bobby Dodd Stadium, and I ate mushrooms at that concert. I just wanted to say.
Well, they had a great team back in the day. Kenny Anderson, Scott. I mean, you know, come on. That was Bobby Kremins in the day with the Yellow Jackets and then Stephon Marbury, right?
Right. It was great. But the football team now, I'm not a buyer in them. Who were you betting? Were you betting on Georgia Tech to beat Pitt? Because I was on Pitt.
Not to beat, to cover. 6.5. I had this game last year, and the line opened up at 8.5 and went up to 10. They lost the game by 10. Actually, it closed at 9.5. I lost that game by 0.5 last year. But it was the same line. And then this year, it opened up at 8. They bet it down to 6.5. I got a good line Sunday night, but I also had them plus 6.5, and I keyed everything at night. So we'll see what happens. But they, you know, it's not going to happen. So it's a void, and we'll see how Saturday plays out because I'm locked and loaded.
Hey, Carver Hyde, tell Joe what your predicament is here with a minute 18 left.
Yeah, Joe, I got a serious problem here, Joe. I'm the only person in the country still watching this Boise State Colorado State game because I actually bet the. I bet the team total for Colorado State over 22.5, and I've been sitting here since early in the third quarter when they got to 21, waiting for any kind of score. And with a minute 54 left, Joe, I will announce they've crossed the 50-yard line here.
They're gonna
tease me all the way to the end. They're gonna tease me to the end here.
God. So listen,
I was on Boise tonight, so I had Boise keyed with the over in the Tennessee Colt game. So once that went over, I shut it off. It was a sweat job, though. It's always
all right. Listen, Joe. So what happened was when he said when they scored and it was 21, it was 42-21. And he said, I got the over 22 and a hook and they were at 21. And I said on the air, I go, there was still like 11 minutes left in the third, and I went, I don't think they're scoring again. And sure enough, there's like 30 seconds left in this game. But they're down. I think they just completed a huge pass, Carver. I think he's like at the 20 or 15 yard line with a minute left. So they're right there. They could score and make this cover for you. And lose 50, but I guess they're at the 35 yard line or 36. So there's they turned the ball over. That was fourth down. So Boise's got it. You just lost your bet. You lose.
Carver, why do you take these totals? Like it's Steve Adazio. If he scored more than 24 points, he would have to go to the hospital because he would have anxiety. He doesn't know what to do when he scores more than 21 at that.
They've played some lower scoring games the last couple of years, so I didn't think they could get to the 61 or 62. Clearly that was wrong. But I thought that Colorado State would maybe be in the game. They showed me some things against Wyoming last week. I figured that they could not win the game, but score, you know, 23 points.
That's yeah. So, Joe, I was in Fort Collins for, let's just say, a stretch. I won't get into the specifics of why I was there, but I think I've always told you that I saw Jesus there. And all I know is that, let me just tell you, that 95% of the student body smokes weed. And, you know, all I know is everybody's a hippie. And I scored more there in 3 months than the Colorado State Rams have scored in football in the last 10 years. In 3 months, I scored more than they have in 10 years. I mean, I got more leg there than you can shake a stick at in a 3 month window, Joe, than they've scored touchdown. You talk about this. They suck so bad in sports. You know, I'm done being nice. I'm not nice anymore. Colorado State, they might as well cancel their athletic program. That's how bad it is. I don't care what anybody says. They suck. And they constantly put them on television for some stupid reason. And I've never been able to figure it out. What are they good at besides nothing? Honestly, some guy said to me one day that they had a nice stadium. Who cares about that if you suck?
They do suck. They really do. I mean, they have nice uniforms. That's about it. But I mean,
what?
You know, they're middle of the road teams. They had Bradley Van Pelt there back in the day. I mean, you know, I mean,
Alex Van Pelt.
Moses Moreno they had, right? Moses Moreno was a quarterback back in the day.
Yeah. Alex Van Pelt. Anyway, isn't he? I think Alex Van Pelt's a coach now. Isn't he on the Browns or
Bradley,
something?
I think it was Bradley Van Pelt. Was Alex Van Pelt was the quarterback at Pitt.
Bradley
Van Pelt was the quarterback at Colorado State. Yeah.
I know, but he sucked worse. He sucked way worse than Alex Van Pelt is what I'm saying. I hope they're cousins.
Oh,
all right, so let me ask you this in all seriousness. We have a lot of games to cover. Notre Dame, after they beat Clemson, and I had them at 5.5 and to win outright, and they went in double overtime. If you go back to 93 when they beat Florida State, when Lou Holtz beat Florida State when they were number one with Charlie Ward,
right?
They went out the next week and lost to Boston College. Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Notre Dame is going to have problems in Chestnut Hill with this BC team and that good quarterback they got?
No, I don't. And I understand why people are saying there are an upset alert, but this game comes down to two factors. You know, the fact that Notre Dame was able to shut down Clemson when it mattered. And that was the biggest thing. The defense came up with a stop. And they're reeling with confidence right now. And I don't think it stops even, you know, on the road in Chestnut Hill. I know BC's playing well. I know BC pushed Clemson to the limit, but they still have serious concerns with their offensive line. They need to score first in this matchup against Ian Book. And I just don't think they match up in the interior anywhere in any capability. I know it might be close early in the first half, but I think in the second half, Notre Dame pulls away, and I think they do cover this 13.5 point number Saturday afternoon. I'm late it a little. I'm looking to late it even more if it goes down under 13.
So I got to tell you, Joe, I'm on Miami for the upset in Blacksburg. Do you think that De'Ara King can get it done on the road against the Hokes?
Yeah, he screwed me last week with NC State, but they're playing well. It's back-to-back games, Scott. But I took Vatek already. I'm locked and loaded with Vatek. I don't trust Miami on the road. It's going to be a little bit colder. They're still undisciplined. And I like Virginia Tech coming off the loss to Liberty. It's not going to be easy, but I think they can get at least a three-point win, which would cover this number Saturday afternoon.
How do you So I had Miami winning last week and I had NC State at 9.5. I middled it. I don't understand. We'll come back and talk about it. I think Virginia Tech. Now, you're probably going to be right. But after losing to Liberty, that's like, you know, you find out your girlfriend's sleeping with your best friend. So I don't trust them for a minute. Honestly, Joe, when you lose to the Christians, that's like you walk in on your best friend sleeping with your girlfriend. And so I can't trust the team that lost to the Christians. I mean, Liberty's unbeaten, right? And they gave Hugh Freeze a new deal. They beat Virginia Tech. I know the end of the game was crazy, but look, I just don't trust them. I would never take Miami in this game in Blacksburg. You know they'll screw it up like they always have. I've never liked Miami the last decade on the road against anybody, even though I'm a diehard Kane fan. But I actually think they're flat out better than this team. Flat out.
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, I think right now Miami looks good. You know, the one concern I have, though, Scott, is you look at that game last week against NC State. I'm not impressed with NC State, and they moved up and down the field on that defense. Was Miami looking ahead? Possibly, but still the same problems. I mean, you know, the 8.6 penalties per game, you know, undisciplined. They give up big plays. And again, against Virginia Tech, that can run the football still now. Khalil Herbert's out for this matchup. They're starting running back, but Raheem Blackshear is there, the former Rutgers running back. He can catch the football, and they have a mobile quarterback that won this game last year in Hendon Hooker. I don't think it's going to be easy. Miami's won 4 of the last 6. I'm just fading the public here It's a short number under a field goal, so I'm taking the Hokies. It's one of my better picks, but I have other games that I like more than this one.
All right, so my Indiana Hoosiers, as you know, I went to IU. Everybody thinks that it's going to be a walk in the park in East Lansing, and I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park, although I do think Indiana is better than Michigan State. But I saw Michigan State go to Ann Arbor and kick Michigan's ass, so don't tell me they can't put it together on a Saturday. Indiana's never done well against them either on the road in East Lansing. And I think that everyone knows Indiana's playing Ohio State next week. How do you think the Indiana-Michigan State game plays out?
You know, this game, I mean, you know, Michigan State has won 10 of the last 11 against Indiana. And last year they won 40-31. But Penix played in that game, and he played well. So, you know, I know that they're right now they're playing with house money, and Michigan State could be, you know, the upset alert this week. I just don't see it. I like the way they're playing on both sides of the ball. They're physical. I know it's a big number for Indiana, but I think I would lay it here. I'm not touching this game. I'm going to watch it from an in-game perspective. Even though Michigan State's dominated the series, I'd be inclined, if I was betting a pregame, I would lean with the Hoosiers here. I just don't have enough confidence in Mel Tucker. I like what Tom Allen's done, and that defense stepped up in a big way last week. They're more physical than they were last year. That's a big thing in the Big Ten. So I'm going to take the hot team in Indiana and lay the wood if I had to.
What do you think happens next week looking ahead? I know that we'll have you on every Thursday per usual, but do you think that Ohio State will handle Indiana no problem at the Shoe, or do you think Indiana will give them a game?
Well, I mean, the line's 22 already, right? Last year they won 51-10. That was with Ramsey at the helm. It wasn't with Penix. Penix was hurt in that matchup. It's going to come down to, you know, can Indiana shut them down in terms of a running game and make them one-dimensional? You know, bigger spreads this year, the underdogs have been covering. So we haven't seen the consistency from week to week. I mean, in that type of matchup, I'd be inclined to take the 22. But the problem is that Ohio State has 2 weeks of preparation. You know, they don't have Maryland this week. They can game plan a little bit earlier. That's a benefit for Justin Fields and Ryan Day. So curious to see if they still put that line at 22. It is there right now, but where is it Sunday night after Indiana plays Michigan State?
Right. Did you were you going to take Maryland with the 25 and a hook against Ohio State in College Park?
No, absolutely not. You know, that was one team that, you know, Ohio State has dominated. The one time that Maryland did step up in College Park was when Urban Meyer was there. They lost that matchup on a 2-point conversion, but still, even with Tua's brother playing well, I think Ohio State's a focused team. I wouldn't lay the wood either. I wasn't touching the game. I was going to watch it in game and see if I can catch something, but I wouldn't touch the line prior to kickoff with Ohio State. If it was any other team, maybe, but Ohio State, no.
So Wake Forest and North Carolina, I think that's going to be a really good game in Chapel Hill. You got a 5-2 team, a 4-2 team. I know no one respects Wake Forest, but they're better than I think that 13 and a hook. I think they might give them a game. I like North Carolina, but I'm not like jumping up and down about them.
No, me neither. I would take the 13.5 of Wake Forest. I love their rushing attack with Kenneth Walker Jr. He's a big physical running back. They also have Sam Hartman. They're a blue-collar team. So, again, I this is basically a rivalry for them, and they play North Carolina tough. I know North Carolina looks like they have, you know, things in order. They're hitting on all cylinders. They dominated Duke, but Duke is definitely underperformed this year under Cutcliffe. This is a much better disciplined team in Wake Forest. Even though they're going on the road, I would take the 13 and a hook in this ballgame.
Who do you think smells worse, Joe? Grateful Dead concert, you know, hooligans that go to the Dead show and they spend, you know, 3 days and they don't bathe and they eat bananas and peanut butter and they smoke a lot of reefer? Or do you think the Krzyzewskiville drones that sleep out for 5 days outside Cameron Indoor without any hot water or shower? Who smells worse, the Grateful Deadheads or the Krzyzewskivilles? Who smells worse, Joe? Who do you don't want to go near?
I don't know, because it's an acquired smell, isn't it? You really need to, you know, which one do you go with? I would
patchouli.
But the deadhead, sometimes it's, you know, that impetus skunk tastes so, you know, just smells so rotten. You know what I mean? I don't know. I would go with that. I would lean to the Cameron Indoor, those crazies on a 5-day bender with no soap and no shower. I would take my shot with that.
Your boy Carver High loves wearing patchouli oil when he goes to his mob bar that he drinks at. TCU in West Virginia in Morgantown, the ears are laying 3.
Yeah, they won the last 2 over Texas, TCU, Texas Christian. But I took TCU +3 and +2.5. I've been on West Virginia in back-to-back weeks against K-State and last week against Texas. They had an emotional loss. They come back home. They won this matchup 20-17 last year. But I think Max Duggan and the rushing attack at TCU can keep this game close. This is a typical Big 12 team. I'm going to fade the public here. I'm taking TCU on the road, even though they haven't stepped up. I think their defense can make enough plays. They're still a young team in West Virginia, play better as an underdog than they do as a favorite.
So does Kentucky handle the big number against the Commodes?
I have no confidence in Vanderbilt, even though they covered a couple of weeks ago against Miss State. I think they're going to run all over them. I like the over, believe it or not. They hammered this over from 49.5, it opened down to 42.5, 41.5. I like the over in the game. I also like it over in the first half, 21.5, Scotty. I took that as well. I think Kentucky could put a beat down on them and cover this number easy.
I think Kentucky will put 49 on them. So forget about that 42. I think they'll put 49 on them. Let me go. I want to go to the bottom of the list here so I don't run out of games, because there's good games out west that I want to mention. Utah at the Rose Bowl against UCLA. I kind of like Utah. I'm not a buyer at all of UCLA. That might be dangerous. They lost their first game, and I bet against them, but will Kelly get him ready for this game against Utah, or are the Utes better?
Yeah, the Utes are better. They're more physical. They can run the football. Still the same problem. You allow Colorado to put a 40 spot up on you last week in that week one matchup with Carl Durrell as head coach. I mean, that's horrible. I mean, I would not take UCLA. I know it's a short number. It favors UCLA. The line does, believe it or not. A 2.5 does favor UCLA, but I would still take the more physical team. Now, this total, I think, is a little bit high for Utah, because I think they're going to run the football. Lower scoring game, but I would still lean Utah. Not one of my better picks, but I would take the Utes on the road. I can't buy into Chip Kelly. I'm sorry.
I
just think he's doing a terrible job.
Yeah, I hit that Colorado game last week out of my derriere. Arizona State, I also hit. I hit USC to win, and I had Arizona State with that fat chunk, and they covered. Right. They should have won the game. They blew it. So now Arizona State's in Tempe against Cal. I have to tell you, Joe, there was a bar back in the day in Tempe I had a gig at when I was with, I think it was Howard Stern. I did this show. It was, because I was at the Super Bowl for, I think, the Giants and Patriots, right? So the day before, there was a I was there in Tempe doing a gig, and there's a bar called The Library. This is back in the day, going back to that Giant Pat Super Bowl. And I mean to tell you, the leg at this bar, I mean, it was the most fantastic thing I've ever seen in my life. And they all wear little schoolgirl outfits, these chicks. And I mean, it was like a porno.
Don't say that.
And then listen, and the story gets better.
You can't, we're in lockdown over here. This is terrible, Scotty. You're killing me.
Hold on, Joe. The story gets better. So I do the gig upstairs at this Hooters above the library bar. Now, the library bar was way better, because I was like on the ledge looking over the edge, and I'm like, what is happening down at this bar beneath us? But up in the Hooters, it was packed 2,000 deep, and I had this huge bash. And six, and Carver High knows this is true, 6 professional athletes got DUIs leaving my party that day. Your boy, Jacoby Jones got one. He got one. And you don't want me to go down the list of guys that got pulled over leaving that party, because it was a party like second to none. I remember they rolled me out of there with like a vaporizer tied to my mouth. And I was trying to have an affair with a chick in a schoolgirl outfit at the library. I think they arrested everyone. That's all I remember. Tempe is a great spot. If I had my druthers, I'd be in Tempe right now with all those hotties down there. All right, so... do you like him against Cal? There is a football game to be played.
You know, I would take the points here with Cal. You know, Cal is a solid defensive team. I know Arizona State rushed the football last week, but I'm going to take Justin Wilcox. I'm going to take the more physical team. I think it's Cal. Even though they haven't played a matchup and Arizona played well against USC, I'm going to take the Bears on the road. Traditionally, they match up well against the Sun Devils. Give me the 4 points. They can win this game outright. So be a live dog as well. So look to them on the money line in this ball game.
Who do you like? Wisconsin, Michigan. I got under 45 seconds.
I like Michigan plus the points. They got to bounce back somehow, some way. I'm going to fade the public there. I'm taking Michigan.
Oregon, Washington State. Oregon laying 10.
I like Washington State. Played them tough last year. I think they can move the football and be in striking distance. Not sold on Oregon this year.
And Arkansas, Florida in the swamp, 17.5.
Yeah, Arkansas has covered every game, but I'm going with Kyle Trask. I think this is the best team possibly, in the SEC. How about that? I think they could be peaking at just the right time.
All right, Joe, you're the man. I love you. Great stuff as always. Enjoy the games this weekend. Hopefully no more will get canceled. It's just killing me, all these cancellations. We'll see you next Thursday night, Joe. You're the best, brother.
You got it, brother. Enjoy the weekend. Not some betting.
There he is, Joe Lisi from College Football Today on Sports Grid. We always love talking to Joe. It's for all on the bench. We'll come back and try to hook up with Morency next of Sports Rage. Because I'm a rocker, I'm a roller, I'm a way out of controller, I'm a wheeler, I'm a dealer, I'm a wicked woman stealer. Today I made fun of The Weeknd that he's going to be singing at the Super Bowl. I love you so, oh girl, I want to spend the night with you. I'd rather have AC/DC. Like, when are they going to give a rock band the Super Bowl? Like, they butcher it every year with these femmy shows. Morency Sports Rage is next. You know he wants rock and roll at the Super Bowl because he's a heavy metal head like I am. Come on, Morency. Can we get some rockers at the Super Bowl instead of all these sissy acts?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Scotty, I lived in Toronto, as you know, and we partied hard in Toronto together.
Right.
I'm not from Toronto, but I lived in that city for about 10, 12 years or so, and yeah, The Weeknd. Like, really? This is the NFL, man. This isn't a 4th of July festival in Iowa. Like, really? It's a freaking Super Bowl. Like, remember, I don't know, I guess you and I are old enough, Scott. I remember the Super Bowl used to be Bruce Springsteen, Rolling Stones. You know what was a good one, actually? Listen, Prince was awesome.
Yeah.
You know what was actually sort of a rock one? It didn't suck. Aerosmith and Britney Spears together. It was just so, like, tacky but good. It was kind of... You know what I mean? At least there was some crunch. There was some electric guitars. Prince is the best one to me. Michael Jackson's the staple. But the Prince, that Prince halftime show in the rain in Miami was awesome. But it just gets worse. And like you said, it's football, bro. So they just get the most pansy, wussified artist every year. Oh, let's get Cole, like Maroon 5. Because when I drink beer and think of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think of that, like, that dumbass Adam Levine and Maroon 5. That nothing screams NFL football like that loser.
I love Lorenzi. That was great. Hey, check out Sports Rage next. I'll see you tomorrow, Morency. I'll see you guys tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 p.m. Eastern. It's Pharrell. Peace.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.